Cliff Hirer, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Where and on what are you focusing in the closing days of the campaign?
Yeah, well, I'm really focusing on a positive message for the future of Virginia that's both innovative and inclusive. It's really important to have a tax and regulatory system that's world-class in order for business to thrive, but it's also very important to be inclusive, to recognize the enormous contribution that immigrants make to our Commonwealth and the urgency of criminal justice reform.
What are the most important issues that you want people to consider in this year's elections?
Well, the two issues that I'm really pushing are tax and regulatory reform, especially the high income tax rates that we have on low levels of income, the burdensome anti-competitive regulations that we place on small businesses, and then the criminal justice system, the drug laws. We really need some reform desperately. You know, we're spending billions of dollars each year on a criminal justice system that arrests 40,000 Virginians annually for drug crimes, most of those for marijuana, which is legal in most states. And almost all of them for mere possession, and it costs $30,000 a year to incarcerate one Virginian. So that's a lot of money that we're spending, and we're not getting any benefit from it. It's actually counterproductive. We're taking people away from their homes, their families, their jobs. We're taking away their driver's license, giving them a criminal record, exposing them to violent criminals, making it very difficult for them to reintegrate into society. So what I'd like to do is treat substance abuse as a public health issue, give people the help that they need instead of incarceration and a criminal record, and take some of that money that we're wasting and use it to fix our broken income tax code, top tax rates starting at only $17,000 of income, not far above the poverty line. Very discouraging for anybody who's just starting out in their career or in a business. And that's why I'm proposing that we would exempt the first $60,000 of household income from the state income tax, which would be a savings of $3,000 a year for the average family here in Virginia. You know, that they could use to pay off a car loan, a student loan, save for a down payment, invest in themselves, their businesses, their children's education, and their communities.
Libertarians tend to be fiscally conservative, socially more liberal. Are there any issues on which you sort of deviate from that framework from other libertarian positions?
I wouldn't say so. You know, I think if anything, where I might differ from other libertarians is just that I take an incremental approach. I'm not looking at massive changes overnight, but just moving in the direction of more choice, more competition, more freedom everywhere in every way, and try to improve things slowly and prove that things can be done better, adopt some of the best practices that have already been proven to work in other states, pick some of the low-hanging fruit that we have in Virginia, things that are antiquated, haven't changed in a really long time, and you know, we can make some easy improvements for people's lives just by bringing in things that we already know work.
Can you give me one example of what you're talking about, something easy, some of that low-hanging fruit?
Sure. Well, I think a couple of good examples. One is absolutely drug policy. I mean, we've seen so much movement on that over the last few years, over the last couple of decades, something where it used to be a radical opinion, but now we're seeing that it works. You know, we've seen in Colorado, in Maine, it reduces opioid overdoses, it boosts the economy, it gets people out of jail, gets people back to their families. So that's one thing. Another thing I like to talk about a lot is in education. That's something where we've been really slow moving. When you talk about charter schools, we're ranked consistently one of the very worst charter school programs in the country. And the nice thing about that is we've gotten an opportunity to see all the experiments that other states have done, what's worked, what hasn't worked. And we've seen, you know, the great benefits that could come from, you know, a quality charter school program. I always like to talk about what's done in New York and how they've managed to narrow some of the gaps between wealthy school districts and lower income school districts, which is a problem that we also have here in Virginia. And boy, I would love to just take the program that they're doing, bring it here, and experience some of those same benefits for Virginia's children.
I'd like to get you to compare yourself to the other two candidates, if you would. Where do you disagree most with Ralph Northam, the Democratic candidate?
Okay. Yeah, I think that, first of all, he's not really addressing the tax and regulatory issues that we have here in Virginia. When I've, you know, heard him talk, he mostly talks about how the economy is doing just fine. But the fact is that, you know, we're 10 years into a recovery and we're still growing pretty slowly. And whenever I'm out and talking to small business owners and how we can improve things for them, they're always talking to me about all the burdensome regulations that they're facing, which is something I'm never hearing from the other candidates. But I talked to a lot of, you know, food and drink establishment owners. Food and drink establishments, of course, are responsible for a huge part of the revitalization of cities all across Virginia. They are just surpassing manufacturing in terms of employment. So it's very important. But they're always talking about how life is made difficult for them because they have to comply with these requirements, such as a bar having to make 45% of its revenue from the sale of food, a brewery only being able to attend 8 special events per year. You know, these kind of strange anti-competitive regulations that don't seem to serve any useful purpose that I've really been hitting on the campaign trail that we really need to roll back. I don't hear about that kind of stuff from him. I also think, you know, he pays a lot of attention, like the other candidate, to some of these culture war issues like the statues. And I'm disappointed that I haven't heard more from him on criminal justice reform. He wants to decriminalize marijuana, but he won't go for full legalization, which I think is a much better solution. And he doesn't talk about some of the other things like civil asset forfeiture, felonies and disenfranchisement, that kind of stuff. He doesn't talk about very much in the campaign the way that I do.
The same question. Where do you differ most from Republican Ed Gillespie?
Sure. So, he's not inclusive, the way that I am. He's repeating some of the rhetoric that we're hearing from the Trump administration and from others that I think is really harmful, especially about immigrants. I mean, that's something that I really hate, is this conflation of, all immigrants with illegal immigrants and all illegal immigrants with MS-13. I think that's really destructive. Immigrants contribute so much to Virginia, to our society, to our economy. Many of my own clients are immigrants who came here for the American dream. They started businesses. They support their families. They employ native Virginians. So I think that's really disappointing. And, we need to be encouraging more immigrants to come and attend our world-class universities and stay here and bring their families, start businesses. So definitely that. And of course, in criminal justice, where his plan is, incredibly weak, this 3 strikes and you're in. He still wants to send people to jail for marijuana, which is so counterproductive. And even on the business and regulatory side, he has a tax plan, but it's much weaker than mine. It's 10 times smaller than mine is for the average family, and it's contingent on some pretty big spending increases. So I think there's some pretty major differences across the board.
You've got positions on health care that I wanted to ask you about because that is such an important issue. And correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. You're opposed to Medicaid expansion. You're in favor of a more competitive marketplace system. And your website says that you want to eliminate state laws, including something called the Certificate of Need, to increase competition and lower health care costs. Can you explain what that means?
Sure. So there's a rule, there's a law in Virginia, and this is a common law. So no states had this law until, I believe, the 1970s, and then the federal government mandated that all states would have this law. And what it does is it restricts the opening of new medical facilities. So if somebody wants to open a new hospital, a new surgical center, they have to get permission from the existing providers in that area, prove that there's a need for these additional services. So it functions, as an anti-competitive law. It prevents the entry of new competitors. And so recently, the federal government removed this mandate, allowed states to decide for themselves whether they want this law or not. We've seen 17 other states that have repealed this law, and there have been studies done, and they've shown that when you get rid of the law, it encourages the entry of new competitors, and it reduces costs, and it increases access. So to me, that's one of those things that I think is low-hanging fruit. It doesn't cost us any money to get rid of a counterproductive regulation like that, and it could improve access to healthcare.
I want to talk about a little bit about the campaign itself and sort of the structure in which you find yourself. When I took my basic American government and political science courses, I learned about how the system works and the fact that we have a first-past-the-post, winner-take-all system. So this is why we tend to have a two-party system in this country and why it is so hard for third-party candidates to gain any traction to perform well in elections, but also to get much attention during the campaign. And so you're in kind of this reinforcing cycle where you don't get as much media attention. You're not raising as much money. You don't get allowed into the debates. And so you don't get as much attention. And how do you break out of that cycle? And how do you get your message out?
Well, I think that as a party, a Libertarian Party has been building up for a long time. If you look at since, we were established in 1971, certainly popularity has grown. You look at, 4 years ago with Robert Sarvis, he got about 7% of the vote, 150,000 votes. Johnson Weld certainly had a very good campaign that had a strong result. So I think we're slowly on the upswing. And we're in favor of more political choice. We want more choice, more freedom across the board, and that includes in the political arena. I think there's a lot of districts that are uncompetitive. You see about 60% of local House of Delegates races each year are usually uncontested. And that's a shame, because then people have no choice on the ballot. So we're certainly in favor of political reforms that would make it more possible to have more participation, in the democratic process. And that includes things like Virginia has one of the highest requirements for major party status. Libertarian Party has major party status in 37 other states. But Virginia requires you to get 10% on a statewide election, which is very difficult. And what major party status would get you is the ability to get on the ballot without having to have a whole bunch of petitions signed.
Every time around.
Right, exactly, right. For every race. So if we didn't have to do that, we would be able to compete in many more districts. A lot of districts where maybe one party or the other is not competitive, but we could be because we're sort of centrist in a way. We're in between the other two parties. And you mentioned first past the post. In Virginia, we don't have any kind of referendum process. And that's the reason why, in spite of 85% of Virginians being in favor of some form of legal marijuana, we don't have that yet. So I would love to have some sort of referendum process in Virginia, even if it's a high bar, so that people can participate more directly in democracy. I also think that we should make it easier for people to vote for different candidates. And one of the major ways is by changing from that first past the post system to a ranked choice voting system, where you're not just picking one person, but you're putting in order each of the candidates in your order of preference. And that way, you're not penalized for picking the candidate who you like best, because if they are not going to win, then your vote goes down to your second choice. So that would make for a lot more competition and a lot more voices to be heard. And I think that's what we need, because the two old parties are getting farther and farther apart, more and more polarized. We've seen certainly in this cycle so many attack ads and so forth. And I think people, are really receptive, really want some fresh voices in the political process.
Kind of following up from that last question, some political analysts say that the better you do, the more you're going to take votes from Ed Gillespie. Are you just kind of going to perform as a spoiler, or are you really running to win in this campaign?
Well, I'm certainly running to win. I'm just in the race because I'm trying to help as many people as possible, as many Virginians as possible. And I think the best way I could do that would be to win. So the whole time we've been running to win, doing everything we can to win. At the same time, we see it seems like we're becoming a bigger and bigger long shot. But I don't agree at all that, I'm just a spoiler. I don't think the evidence supports that I'm taking votes from Gillespie. If you look at 4 years ago and the second choice of voters who voted for the Libertarian candidate, Robert Sarvis, it was actually about 55% to 45% in favor of McAuliffe in terms of a second choice. So it's pretty even split down the middle. And I kind of disagree with the whole concept of stealing votes. I mean, you had to earn a vote. And I think that, a lot of people who are voting for me wouldn't be voting at all otherwise, because they're really disenchanted with the two parties and the two candidates. I don't think I'm really playing a spoiler role, but I'm just providing a voice, an outlet for people who feel the same way that I do, who agree with me, on the issues and want to voice their support.
Anything I didn't ask you'd like to mention?
I really think there's a couple of major changes that we need to make to the education system here in Virginia. One of those is we need to change the testing. Right now, a lot of people are talking about whether we're putting too much emphasis on the SOLs, not enough emphasis. I think that's the wrong thing to be talking about. I think that SOLs really can't serve the purpose of holding schools accountable, because there's no way to tell from the SOL results, what's the result of the teacher or the school's influence versus some other factor like the student's home life. So I want to move towards a more innovative system of testing that's been pioneered in other places like LA County, called growth measure testing. And that evaluates the change in a child's performance over the course of a school year. It allows you to isolate the contribution of a teacher, of a school. You can find what are the highest performing teachers, the highest performing schools, and identify the best practices that they're using to achieve those results and sort of spread those all over the state. I also mentioned that we have a bad charter school program here in Virginia. There's only 9 charter schools because the local school boards decide whether a charter school should be approved. And so that's sort of the fox guarding the hen house. They're in charge of their own competition. So we need to move to a better system such as they have in New York. That is capable of addressing the education inequality that we have in the state, where we have some great school districts that perform well year after year, and we have some other school districts that don't perform very well, that are failing their students. And the only objection that I usually get to that is a concern that the regular schools, the non-charter schools, may be worse off because of that. But that's not what we see when we look at the results in other places. Because they're forced to compete for the marginal student, it tends to improve all the schools across the board, which of course is very important, because even in places where charter schools have been quite successful, they still tend to be educating a relatively low percentage of the students overall. So the biggest thing to concentrate on is improving the system as a whole, and I think that's one part of doing that.
Cliff Hira is a patent attorney from Mechanicsville and the Libertarian nominee for governor. Mr. Hira, thank you very much for joining me today. I really appreciate you taking time.
It was my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.